Yield Under Great Persuasion by Alexandra Rowland. Read by Edward Knight. Chapter 1. Tam Beckett did not care for Lord Lyford. On the other hand, gods, the man had a cock on him. The former opinion was one he could trace back to the age of 9, when Lyford, Master Nicolau, as he'd been known in those days, had knocked over Tam's table at the village fair one year, smashing the purple marrow that Tam had been nursing along for months and which would have won him the vegetable competition. The latter opinion could be traced to mid-adolescence, when Tam, against his better judgment and later deeply exasperated with himself, had jumped Lyford's bones, or possibly consented to be jumped by him, and lost his virginity in Lyford's father's hayloft. On one hand, the prick. Obnoxious, entitled, smug, thoughtless, impractical, excessive, irresponsible, unreliable, and lazy. On the other hand, the prick's prick. Long, incredibly girthy, deliciously curved, hard as a rock, ravenous and roped with veins that made it look ferocious enough that Tam's mouth started watering at the very thought of it, and his traitorous legs somehow kept falling open on their own, despite all efforts to convince himself that he definitely did not need Lyford's cock to live, and that he certainly would not die without it. Hard to remember that when Lyford was digging his cock into the root and groaning on top of him like that.
Fuck. That's it. Fuck. You take me so well. Fuck. Nobody like you, Tam. Gods. Nobody takes it like you.
Tam shuddered through an appallingly good climax. He was well pleased with himself when he managed to keep about 10% of his brain floating above the surface of pleasure to be embarrassed about it, and embarrassed on Lyford's behalf for saying such stupid things in bed. The fact that Lyford didn't appear to be embarrassed at all, never was, the prick, and yanked out his cock to spend all over Tam's arse, well, that was just indignity on top of insult on top of injury, like the world's most terrible cake. Lyford groaned and sat back on his heels, and Tam took the opportunity to wriggle out of the bed, scrape Lyford's misspent airs off his arse with Lyford's shirt, and begin throwing his clothes back on.
"We shan't do this again,"
Tam said loftily, and was severely taken aback to hear it echoed. Lyford had spoken in perfect unison with him. Tam turned on the prick with all the haughty offence he could muster and caught him in the midst of a massive and lavish eye roll.
"You always say that," Lyford said. "Was it a particularly good one today then?"
"I don't know what you mean," said Tam, icy.
"The better you come, the faster you get out of bed after. Fairly fucking flew just now. Liked it on your belly like that? Or was it the talking?"
"Neither," Tam spat, cinching his belt closed. "I just have things to do."
"Yes, yes, you always do. What is it now? I thought you were closing up shop for the festival."
He had. Tam cast around frantically for something else that would be occupying his time beyond the damn tea shop. But it was the summer idle days, when the phases of the two moons were maximally out of sync and even the tides fell still, a sign from the gods that it was time for people to rest as well. By custom, there were 3 days of what was supposed to be comfortable leisure, but why do that when you could work really hard to throw a big party and have a good time?
"I've volunteered," Tam said crisply. "With one of the Henge committees, for the festival."
"Oh? Which one?"
Lyford rolled onto his back and put his hands behind his head, which as far as Tam was concerned was some kind of war crime. Lyford's cock, still fat and delectable, lay wet and shiny with oil across